last few weeks we've been joined together and tried to encourage everybody to work on a topic I've called the Road to Excellence. And in the first time we got together, I taught on something I called Seeking to Excel. And what we did is we covered the real benefits of speaking in tongues and learned and were reminded that speaking in tongues is something that God has given to us in the church era, let's say, the administration, as a power source. And we are constantly being bombarded, as you well know, from this crazy world. Everywhere you go, everywhere you turn, whether you're driving down to Starbucks or you're driving to Oregon from Oakdale, California, or whatever it is you're doing, there's a war going on, and it's a war for our minds and for our thought life. And so something that we can continue to do in our, let's say, the struggle or the fight for victory, because, you know, as odd as it sounds, we're actually coming from a place of victory. We're not, although it seems like we're trying to achieve victory, we're actually coming from a place of victory, because Jesus Christ already paid the price and won the race on our behalf. So our enemy, the adversary, is doing his best to talk us out of what we've already been given in the work of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah, we all know that. That's so true. So take your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 10. Just want to share a little bit about being strong in the Lord. We got to be strong in God, because, I don't know, you could go to the gym and work out and do everything you needed to do and still not feel like you're really being strong. And I think the key is that we have to be strong in the Lord, and that it's not us relying on our own strength to try to accomplish and achieve things. But if we are to walk in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to do it in the power of the Spirit and not in our own strength. And this is what we're really reminded of, this exhortation from Paul. It's funny because Joe and I were talking about this a little bit today, is that Paul wrote this epistle from prison. It wasn't like, you know, he was there with the folks. And this is a letter that was written to the church at Ephesus. And there's so much encouragement. And as we know, the revelation of the mystery was given in this particular epistle, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Fellow heirs with whom? Well, the Judeans, right? Because that's really who Jesus came to minister to. But at that point in time of the crucifixion, there was something really significant that happened in the temple. Do we remember what that was, Joe? The veil was ripped and torn, giving all people access to the Holy of Holies. And what that means is we have access to God all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We can go to God, talk to God, share our hearts with God, lay everything down with God, and also to be assured that God just, he loves us, he cares for us, and his goodness is going to go with us. No matter where we go, no matter what we think, no what our matter stink or doesn't stink, you know? And so we can be encouraged by these verses, like in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, where Paul begins by revelation to write this, and he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in what? Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, one of those great ways that we get to manifest the power of God is through at least one of nine manifestations, and that's speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. It really is the truth in the senseless world that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And the enemy, our spiritual enemy, the adversary, is doing his darndest to try to get us to forget about it, or to be distracted, or to be full of anxiety, or doubt, or some other type of giant that he's trying to throw up so that we can't, we are distracted from the power and the might of God. Because speaking in tongues, as we know, is perfect praise. And that, if it accomplished nothing else, would just be so amazing. But here we are, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yeah, we take off the old and we put on the new. Well, what is the whole armor of God? The whole armor of God is all that's been accomplished for us in the work, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his lordship. And that has bridged the gap between man and God, which was lost many generations ago. Jesus Christ, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and the giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, all these things were part of God's plan to reunite man with God for fellowship. And so to put on the whole armor of God is to put on all those things that we have been made to be in Christ Jesus. Because it goes on to say that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Are you standing alone? No, you're not standing alone. There's God and his son, Jesus Christ. They're right there with us, standing together with us. So we put on that whole armor of God. And where is that armor put on? Got to be put on in your mind, right? Got to be put on in your thinking, in your thought. You know, in another verse, doesn't it say, resist the devil and he will flee? Well, where is that resistance happening? I mean, we aren't arm wrestling with the devil. We're putting the thoughts of God on in our minds, and in our, which then gets down into our hearts. Because it says again here in verse 12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness on high places. It may look like a flesh and blood senses battle, but you know what? Behind the scenes, something else is going on. And that's who we're wrestling against, not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness from on high. And in verse 13, again, it's encouraging us. It says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What's that, the third time in this section that those words have been used? Stand against the wiles of the devil, verse 11. Verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints, and supplication for all saints. All of these things, all of these armaments that we have been given are all things that have been given to each and every believer as a result of what Christ has accomplished. And God's encouragement is just put these things on. And therefore, you're going to be able to continue down that road of excellence. You're going to be able to have what you need in every given moment. You're going to have the proper tools necessary to be able to really withstand and endure in this situation. I just think that that word stand is used so many different times in this particular usage, this particular section. So, you know, I thought about this principle today about receive, retain, release, and how we have just been so fortunate to receive, and we're receiving it right now, a huge amount of God's word. That verse that we're talking about is in James 1:21, where it says to receive the word with meekness, right? Receive the word of God with meekness, with the humility to receive it where? Into our minds, of course, but also into our hearts. And then, I know we're going through these quickly, but then in Titus chapter 1, verse 9, it talks about holding fast the faithful word. First of all, we got to receive the word. Secondly, we retain the word, and then we get the joy and privilege of being able to release this word of God, which is a very, what's been called a virtuous cycle. It's something that we really want to be able to incorporate into our lifestyle. And God just has so many different examples. You know, we have a dog, Midnight, who I get to take out for walks at different times. Why am I out there walking? Or why do I let him out into the yard? Well, one of the reasons is, besides for his exercise, is that I've noticed that he eats food, and then there'll be a period of time, right, where he's kind of retaining it, digesting it, and then he needs to go outside, and he needs to have a period of releasing time. Humans are like that too, by the way, all of us. But, hey, you know, it's just so cool kind of the way God designed this whole thing. It kind of reminded me of Abraham, you know, where he was sealed with the sign of circumcision. And it's like we were taught, you know, every time, you know, he would be going to the bathroom or whatever, he'd be reminded of the promise of God. Maybe that's a different way for us to kind of, you know, see things in perspective. Receive, retain, release. Let's look at that verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. It's a great one, man. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Yeah, I love this. Let's just love God, love the word. It's just so amazing. So many things in there that we can just really enjoy. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but what? Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, and even Christ. And then goes on to talk about how the body of Christ edifies itself in love. But there's that simple principle. Receive the word of God with meekness. Retain the word of God with conviction. And these are just three simple areas. There are many, many, many verses that would talk about this. Proverbs chapter 2 is one of those. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, if thou wilt seek for it as treasure and hide it within your heart, then you will understand and find the fear of the Lord. So many different things. And so we can't put the emphasis necessarily on one particular thing saying, I have to receive more. You know what? We receive. If for many people, if they just understood God loved them unconditionally and mulled that over a little bit longer and then spoke those words of truth to somebody in need, that's sometimes all that people really need to hear, because the world is always just trying to tear people down. They aren't trying to build them up, not trying to praise them. Many people think God hates them and that they feel so unworthy because of who they are, their past, their experiences, the way they think, 100 different other things. And so we have the joy and opportunity to speak the truth in love. And in that process, we grow. So we put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand in this day in which we live. The one thing that we really have is a powerful weapon is to be able to hold forth the word of life, that we can wield the sword of the Spirit, right? Which is what? The word of truth, the word of life, the word of God. Doesn't matter how much you know. It's just that we receive what we can, we retain it, and we release it. And so this is something we can put into practice immediately, because everywhere you go, there are plenty of opportunities. The world is a fertile field. So next time you're in the grocery store, next time you're in Starbucks, the next time you're in a situation to do your daily routine, think about opportunities to really be able to speak the truth, the Lord gets in your heart, which is a lot of stuff, a lot of things. So let me pray. Father God, thank you for these great words of truth, and Father, that we would find ourselves in situations to help and to serve and to bless. Man, you can't say we don't receive a lot of your word, Father, and have a lot of knowledge. And I pray that there will be plenty of opportunities for us to just release that into a world that is so filled with pain and suffering and darkness that we can, like it says in Philippians, shine forth as lights in this world, God, and have a message of the good news, the gospel that Jesus Christ accomplished on our behalf. And we thank you for all of God's people who have joined in tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.